Hi everyone, I'm Brittany.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we're the Terror Girls.
Welcome back to season 4, episode 2. We're not in the podcast studio today.
So you might hear some weird sounds in the background. We are recording from the home studio, aka a kitchen, on Zoom with our friend Melanie.
Yay! Hi Melanie, welcome.
Hey y'all. Thanks for having me.
We're very excited to have Melanie on the podcast today. She's pretty cool, which you'll hear about. Mm-hmm. But we know Melanie because she is our HOKA field rep.
Yeah. So Melanie is joining us on Zoom from Nashville. Melanie has worked for HOKA and she has worked in other places in the run specialty industry. So we'll get into that. But Melanie, before we get started, we like to ask all of our guests some warm-up questions. So let's shake off the nerves and ask you a few questions just to warm us all up.
All right. Would you rather be too hot forever or too cold forever?
Too cold.
Okay, how come?
I just cannot stand being hot. And I am the worst runner in the summer and the worst hiker in the summer. I did just recently start hot yoga, which okay. I hope will help me this summer because I usually just stop running as much in the summer, or I'm like a 3 a.m. in the summer kind of gal. So I'm hoping this helps.
Yeah. Like we all are. You know?
So maybe if you ask me this in a year, I'll say the opposite. But right now I cannot stand being hot.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Good for you for doing something about it. You know, some people just say, I just quit in the summer, but you're doing something about it. You're sweating all winter to make the summer more pleasant. All right, Melanie, second question. Do you prefer fiction or nonfiction and why?
Nonfiction. You know, it's funny though, like nonfiction, unless it's Harry Potter, which I know is so like everyone's into Harry Potter, but Harry Potter is my comfort book, mm-hmm. books. But typically I'm all about nonfiction. I like to learn about other people and their lives. And yeah, that's just how it's always been.
Awesome.
I love it. I think I'm kind of the same way. A little good memoir, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. When it comes to cross training, and you kind of mentioned this already, but when it comes to cross training, do you prefer yoga? Do you prefer weights? Do you do something else?
Yeah. I mean, yoga is definitely what I enjoy the most as someone who is injured quite a bit and has been injured quite a bit. I do a lot of strength training in other ways at home, but yoga is what I stick to the most just because I enjoy it the most. And I also pay for a studio. And when I pay for something, mm-hmm. I make sure to stick to it. When you see that money leaving the account every month, you're like, I need to make this worth it. Mm-hmm. But I try to strength train as much as possible, especially when I start to feel those injuries flare up.
Yeah. Good for you. A lot of runners say they don't cross train. So I love to hear when people do multiple things.
Yeah.
To be a good runner, you have to do other stuff too.
Yep.
Telling that to myself also. All right, Melanie, if you had to delete one food from existence in the entire universe, what would you get rid of?
Coconut.
Coconut?
Just coconut?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Just not. I don't like anything about it. I do like one coconut cake from Merity's Bakery in Franklin, Tennessee. Mm. I can have 2 bites of it. And other than that, coconut is just, see you later.
Yeah.
I cannot stand it. And it's the flavor. It's not a texture thing. It's a flavor.
It's a flavor thing. Okay. I like it. I just had a side dish this weekend of like cut up fruit with honey and coconut on top.
Oh.
And it was so good. But no, you're not into that either. No. Okay.
No.
Yeah, you had a quick answer too. You felt sure.
I like coconut.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, last warm-up question, and it's kind of a tough one, so it's okay if you don't have an answer, but can you tell us a joke?
What did the Atlantic Ocean say to the Pacific Ocean?
Oh.
I don't know what.
Nothing. They just waved.
Good. Wow. I need to remember that. I never have just like a joke on the tip of my tongue. That was great.
Wow.
Good job, Melanie.
Incredible.
Awesome. All right. So we're ready to get into it. So we mentioned Melanie is our HOKA field representative. So a lot of you have probably met Melanie, whether you know it or not.
Yep.
Our listeners are generally a big Terra fan, so you probably have come to a Hoka demo run over the past couple years, or with us, or really anywhere over the whole state of Tennessee, right?
Yeah.
So Melanie is a very accomplished hiker, mm-hmm. in addition to her career in run specialty. So we're going to ask you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, but we have to start at the beginning. So let's give our listeners some context, but also we want to know more about you, Melanie. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself? Like, where are you from? Have you always lived in Tennessee? Just start at the beginning.
Yeah, so I've lived in Tennessee most of my life. I moved here when I was about 5 from Michigan, and I grew up in a town about 30 minutes south of Nashville called Franklin, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. It's a cute little town, or it was little. It's not little anymore. Mm-hmm. And I lived there until I graduated high school. And I actually went to school at University of Tennessee in Chattanooga.
Oh, awesome.
So pretty close to Cleveland. And so I studied anthropology and psychology for undergrad. And then I have my master's degree in Appalachian Studies from Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina. And when I graduated with that, I was set to go get my PhD in anthropology. I had applied to a lot of places and was, you know, really amped about starting my next level of education. And I was on a hike with my mom, and I was like, dude, I have been going to school since I was 5 years old, and I just am pretty tired. She was like, yeah, you should probably not go get the PhD right now. So I rescinded all of my applications and decided to go hike the Appalachian Trail instead of going to get my PhD.
Wow.
So that was in 2016. I adopted a dog, and me and her set out and did the Appalachian Trail in 2016. And yeah, the rest is kind of history.
Wow. How cool. So how did you get into run specialty from that? So you finished the AT, and then what?
So I came back from the AT and immediately realized that I wanted to do the PCT, the Pacific Crest Trail, but I didn't have any money. So I needed to get some. So I ended up getting a job at Mountain High Outfitters, their Franklin location. And I worked there for about a year and a half and saved up, and then did the Pacific Crest Trail with my partner, James. We met in that kind of year and a half period, and he did the Appalachian Trail the year after me. And we decided to do the PCT together and came home from the PCT out of money again. And so got a job at Cumberland Transit here in Nashville, which is the oldest outfitter in Middle Tennessee. So I felt like that was a really good place to kind of start and figure out what I wanted to do with my life and with my career. And Jason Fennell, who is the owner of Cumberland Transit, who I think you both know from the LOSPO trip last year. Yeah. So Jason's one of my closest friends. And he just like has always believed in me and just been one of my number one cheerleaders. And when I started at Cumberland Transit, I was like, I have a degree in Appalachian Studies, and I just don't really see any place I want to use this degree. And I didn't know that you could have a career in the outdoor industry and the running industry. And he was like, cool, let's do this for you. So I quickly went from just being a sales associate to marketing coordinator, events coordinator, and then doing some women's buying. And it kind of spiraled from there. I became really good friends with some of the reps. Molly Sarche, who was the former Hoka rep before me in Nashville, she decided to move to Raleigh, and the position was open at Hoka, and I applied and got it. And Cumberland Transit was super supportive of that, which is good because they're one of my accounts. So, and I started with Hoka March 9th, 2020. So that was an interesting time to start.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it was just a couple days after the Olympic trials, and it was like right when things were starting to get weird with COVID. So it was an interesting time, but made it through.
Wow, that is a crazy time to be a field rep. So a lot of our listeners might know, because like we were mentioning, they probably met you, even if they don't realize that they've met you. But can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that job looks like and kind of what a week would look like for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So Like you said, I started Hoka March of 2020. My territory is the state of Tennessee. I also have Mississippi for the time being, and then a little corner of Virginia. So I have 104 accounts, which is wild. When I left last year, I only had 96. So we're definitely still growing. So I have 104 accounts in my territory. And so every week looks different. Last week, I was at the Olympic trials. And this week, I'm catching up on 500 emails. so it just, you know, kind of depends on the week. But typically, we use Mondays and Tuesdays as our office time to kind of reset and get ready for the week. And then Wednesday through Sunday are field events usually. So I do everything from working with nonprofits in the area to different organizations. And then, of course, focusing on all of the retailers that carry Hoka in Tennessee and helping them with staff education and events. And so that looks like a demo run sometimes. It looks like an ultra race sometimes. And other times it's volunteering and the shoes stay in the car.
Yeah, I feel like you guys, I respect you all so much because I feel like you're always traveling. Like we were emailing about planning stuff for this year and it's like, maybe you're free and May 31st. It's going to be a miracle if you are, but you know, and that's in January just because you guys are all over the place. And like you said, you have 100 plus accounts. Mm-hmm. So constantly moving.
So you mentioned that you left your job. Can you tell us more about that? You're back in a job. Yeah. Where'd you go?
Yeah. So, spring of last year, my partner James and I were really trying to decide what we wanted our next few years to look like. I'm in my early 30s, and we were just like, you know, we really feel like we need to start doing some adult things. And we both have done the PCT and the AT, but we had not done the Continental Divide Trail, which for people who don't know, the Appalachian Trail, Pacific Crest Trail, and Continental Divide Trail are what is known as the Triple Crown of hiking. So we had done two of the three and just really felt like in order to kind of move on with our careers, with our life, with like the marriage and kids thing, that we needed to get this last trail done. And we had planned doing it in 2022. And we both had injuries and we were just feeling really good last year. And we were on the fence for several personal reasons. And then our dog passed away in April, which just shattered our world. She was like the love of our life and we just needed to go walk off the grief. And we both felt that it was the right time. And so we took a nice long walk from Canada to Mexico. It was the first trail that we have done starting in the north and going south. We typically start in the south and go north. It just worked out better with our schedules. We are huge hockey fans. We have season tickets to the Predators. So a lot of it kind of revolved around the Predators season, which is kind of funny. But we knew they were going to be done with the season. So we decided to start in Glacier National Park and hike south to Mexico. So 3,000 miles in 4 months and 11 days.
Wow, that is incredible. Yeah, I was looking up, you know, the lengths of these trails because I knew that you'd done all three. And it looks like the AT is roughly 2,200 miles. The PCT is roughly 2,650-ish miles. Yes. And then the Continental Divide Trail is about 3,100 or so. So listeners, if you're not great at math like me, that is about 8,000 miles that Melanie has hiked.
Wow.
Hiked. Not just like, through hiked these thousands of miles.
That's amazing.
Sounds a lot when you say it.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a ton. And so you left your job to do this. You gave up everything. You left your job. And then you came back to it. It was still there for you. Or they hired you again, I guess.
Yes. So that was an interesting thing. I mean, I left and, you know, fully expecting them to have a replacement and it just didn't happen for one reason or another. I'm not really sure the details on it. I do know that I was super stoked. I was sitting in this gross motel room in New Mexico and I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to be home in like a month and I don't have a job. James got a sabbatical. James, my partner, got a sabbatical. So he was in it like a little bit different of a situation where I was like, looking at jobs in this gross hotel room, and I noticed that my position was still available. And I called my former manager and was like, hey, I see that the field rep position is still open. Do you think I should apply for it? And she said, yeah. So I applied for it. I had to go through the whole interview process again.
Wow.
And I got back on the team. So I started back in December. So June to December, I was hiking for some of that, and the position was open. And so I've been back a couple months and finally got to see my whole team last week at the trials, which was incredible. Yeah. Just to see everyone again. And it's so good to see all the other reps. It can be a lonely job sometimes. Yeah. You know, you kind of feel like you're on this island in your own territory. And of course, we have our sales reps, Corey Tunstall, who is your sales rep. He's awesome. So I have seen him a couple times, but it's nice to see the other field reps. And so when we're in person like that, it's just really special.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm sure it's, I mean, we all also feel that sense of like, no one really does what we do. And then when you see people at like the running event or something, you're like, wow, other people do the same kind of thing. But I can only imagine if you're a field rep, how that would feel even more isolating. Cause like you've got territory. So it's like, this is yours, one person's territory, and you just aren't interacting with your colleagues that much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we know that it already had a happy ending for you. You left, you hiked this over 3,000-mile trail, quit your job. But I feel like quitting your job to do something like that, like following a dream, is not something that the average person usually does.
Yeah.
Can you, and did you have to do that when you did the PCT as well? I have so many questions. I'm getting ahead of myself. But can you kind of talk to us about that experience of being like weighing, is it, should I quit my job to do this? Should I not? Like, what was that experience like for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, each time it was different. When I did the AT, I was fresh out of grad school and extremely like, I didn't have a lot of money, but obviously I'm still like privileged to the point where I felt like I could do it. I sold my car and used the money from that to hike the AT on very, very little money. I literally had to call my mom in Maine and borrow money from her. And I was like, I could either hitchhike from Maine or you could pay for my flight home. And she decided to pay for my flight home, even though I had been hitchhiking the whole time. That was like going to be my longest hitchhike. So she felt more comfortable handing over the money. And I will say, you know, I did pay her back for that flight. So I like really don't like to have to ask other people to support these hikes because in my mind, they are vacations. And I get like, again, I understand the privilege of quitting your job and leaving your life for 6 months. Like not everyone can do that. And the PCT, I quit Mountain High and had saved up enough for that. And then this time, yeah, I mean, quitting your job is really scary, especially at this point in my life. It's one thing like when I was younger and I didn't have any plans, but like now we're like trying to buy a house and like gonna have kids and like that is expensive. And so It was something that we really had to talk about and realize like, if we go ahead and start all of these other things, we're going to look back on this time and realize that that was the time to do it. And one thing I hear all the time, like, especially from older folks is they're like, oh, do it now while you're young. And they're right. Like doing things like this now while you're young is great. You see people of all ages on these trails, but most of the time it is people in their 20s and 30s. And people in their 60s and 70s and not a lot in between because it's so hard to leave your life for 6 months, no matter who you are. You know, you have car payments and insurance and phones and all these things. And to just leave your life is really difficult. And it's hard for your family to understand. And I think when you tell someone 6 months, it sounds so long, but really when you think about it, 6 months goes by so quick in what I'll call like the real world. Whereas like when you're hiking every day, it does go by a little bit. Time works differently out there. But if you look back to 6 months ago, I mean, what would have that been? August, you know, October, September, like that whole time frame, like that wasn't that long ago. And I mean, even if I just look at like 6 months from now, like my October is already booked. Like I am just like, you know, I just felt like we had to seize the moment. And, you know, I feel like we get back from these trips and people are like, whoa, you're already back. And I'm like, see, yeah, wasn't that long. But it when you say it, it does seem like a very long time. But I am lucky that we were able to save up enough to be able to leave and then come back and my job be uncertain. It was easier that James had a sabbatical. He had a job to come back to. And if we absolutely had to, we could live on his salary. It wouldn't be, you know, we'd have to cut out a couple of things, but we knew that going in. So it's definitely a lot of planning, and we seriously wouldn't be able to do it without our families. James's dad watched our house for us. My mom watched our house for us. We have Jason Thanell lives up the street from us. He watched the house, and then his wife. So we're lucky to have this community back home to support us. And without them, like without like calling my mom, like, hey, I need you to send me darn tough socks now, or calling Jason and being like, I need new speed goats in the next town. By the way, I'm going to be there 2 days from now. You have to overnight them. So being able to having the support system back home is incredible. And we're thankful for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. So adventurous. And you're right. Time is, I imagine, because I've never left my life, but seems relative, right? We can easily book out 6 months from now. We have stuff scheduled already. So if you don't make that conscious decision to pause, yeah, you can easily just keep on scheduling stuff. And all of a sudden it's 6 years from now.
I had the experience of like, oh, you're back already? Because we lost Melanie as our field rep when he went to go hike the Continental Divide Trail. And we were very sad about it. And then someone said, I don't know if it was Corey or someone, like, oh, yeah, she's back now. And mm-hmm. I was like, what? I was in Colorado last summer, just in Rocky Mountains National Park, camping. And we were in this campground that overlooked, like, you could look out and see the Continental Divide. Like, it was like, it's that way. And I was like, Melanie's out there.
She's out there. We were following on Instagram. We loved it. But then, yeah, it goes by so quickly in the real world. All of a sudden you're back and we can go 6 months without seeing you normally. So it's like you never left.
Yeah. Yeah. But kudos to you guys for making it happen.
Yeah.
I think that's
amazing.
Yeah. You have to make it happen.
Yeah. So what about the actual hikes themselves? You've spent months and months of your life hiking. Like, tell us, what's the day-to-day like? And maybe that's a silly question because you're hiking. But imagine, like, there's cool stories and you're camping and meeting people. And you did at least the AT with your dog. How special. Yeah. So can you tell us about the actual hikes themselves?
Yeah. So the AT was definitely different compared to the other two. It was my first one. I had only done a few hikes. Mainly with my mom, who has also done the Appalachian Trail. And so this is like my first solo thing. And I mean, I felt like I had someone because I had Radley, my dog, with me. And that was incredible for her to be with me. And like, we had this bond. And I think it just brought us so close. She unfortunately was only able to hike like the first 1,000 miles or 3 months. It was just, it's just a lot on a dog. And now if people ask me, like, if I would suggest hiking with a dog, like 100% no, like dogs just are not meant to hike that much, in my opinion. Especially like, you know, you get up to 15 to 30 miles a day. That's so much for a human, but for a dog, it's also just, that's not what they're meant for. But I do, like, I wouldn't trade that time for anything. Like, I think it's why we were so close and why she was like my heart dog. But when I hiked the PCT with James, it was way different. I was so used to, like, Radley's not going to tell me how far she wants to go. She's a dog. But when you hike with your partner, you have to agree on how many miles you're going to hike. Are you going to hike together? Where are we going to eat lunch? Like, it's a lot to change because I'm a very independent person. So our hike on the PCT was way different than the CDT. We hadn't been dating that long. So it was a lot of like, you know, hey, I need some space from you because we live in like a 10 square foot house right now.
Yep.
But of course we had miles and miles to walk and to be able to separate. And so we really learned how to like fight better, if that makes any sense. And so I think on the CDT, our experience was I don't want to say better. I mean, they were just so different. But we didn't have as much conflict on the CDT. And so, I mean, a day to day, most days you wake up at 4 or 5 a.m. We're really early risers because I don't like the heat. So I like to hike before it gets too hot. And we aimed, especially on the CDT, for 20 to 30 miles a day. And we got that almost every day on the CDT. We really pushed our miles on the CDT. Our goal that we told everyone was 6 months. The goal that we actually had was 5 months. And the goal that we silently had was 4.5 months. So we did it in 4 months and 11 days. So we're really proud of that.
Wow.
And then we try to hike almost like half our mileage for the day or more by lunchtime. And we stop for about 15, 30 minutes and then hike on. We're really big into night hiking too. So especially when you get, you know, later in the year and into these 30-mile days, you're hiking all day. And it sounds monotonous. I mean, most day, like that is just like a typical day. But of course, you see wildlife. A lot of times you go through towns or you see day hikers or people with trail magic. A trail magic is when somebody gives you some sort of treat or something. And that could just be someone giving you an apple or taking your trash, or we've had people with a full-on pizza oven on the side of the road. So, and we're thankful for it all. And again, like it just goes to the people, like we wouldn't be able to do these things without the community back home, but also on the trail.
That's awesome. I know we can't like sum up your experiences in like 2 seconds, but do you have any like standout moments, I guess, from any of those or all of those, something that really stands out?
Oh gosh. I mean, there were so many incredible moments on the trail, but I think like one of the best moments is always like the finish. It's such a roller coaster. I mean, it's like finishing an ultra or a marathon or any, or even just like that 5K, like that you just really didn't want to get off your couch for. It's like, it's, you work so hard for it all these months and you're so happy at first. And then you're like really sad, like a lot of people say it's like a post-trail depression, or it's like after you finish a race and you're just like, now what? Because you don't have this constant goal you're working towards. So the emotions are just all over the place. But I think finishing the AT for me was one of the most like memorable for a lot of reasons, because people ask you for like 6 months, like, what are you going to do next? And what trail are you going to do next? And I had absolutely no plans to do other trails. And as soon as I touched the sign at the end on top of Katahdin in Maine, which is the finish of the AT going northbound, I was like, oh my gosh, I think I'm going to do the PCT. And I hadn't even thought about it until the end. I had a stress fracture in my right hip on Katahdin. I had to be in crutches for 6 weeks after the trail. It was awful. But I just knew like, I want to do this again. And I did it twice more. So it's just like it's such a hard feeling to explain, of just like happiness and sadness at the same time. Like, I feel like bittersweetness doesn't even like begin to cover the feeling, but it's just, there's no feeling like it.
Amazing. Did you ever think I'm going to quit? Like, did you ever remember any moments on the trail? You're like, yeah, this is, I'm done.
Yeah, I mean, probably most on the AT because I had the stress fracture. So in Pennsylvania, I got diagnosed with a stress fracture and they were like, hey, you have a stress fracture in a hip, you need to get off the trail. And I was like, or is there like another option here? And they were like, no, you literally have like a fracture in your hip. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to not do that. And so I hiked from Pennsylvania to Maine with a stress fracture. And I was taking like 16 Advil a day. And I was getting up very early and hiking very late. And I got home and went to the doctor. And my doctor was like, you're an idiot. And you could have really, really messed up your body. And I would never, ever do that again. I was just like, really, I'm a very stubborn person. I was younger. I had never been injured before, really. And I just was like, it'll be fine. I would never do that now. I would totally quit now. And I probably should have. But there were definitely times where I was like, oh, maybe I should quit. But then I would just keep going. And I mean, even that last day, like the last day of the AT is a very, it's one of the hardest hikes of the whole trail. And you have to like swing your legs up onto different rocks. It's like class 2, class 3 bouldering. And like it was so painful to like swing my hip up. And I, like, my friends like dragging me up the mountain. So that was probably like the most, like probably the time I should have quit. We of course like have moments where we're like, I really want to quit, but it's usually in like on climbing up a mountain when it's like snowing and awful weather. And even if you wanted to quit, there's like, no,
you can't you
because you're, yeah, exactly. So it's like, even if I wanted to, like, I have to keep going forward. So by the time you get to town and you get like a burger and you like, and you know, you're relaxed and you're like, I'm not going to quit, but that was really tough.
Wow, that's crazy.
There's some life lesson there. I don't know what it is.
But, yeah, definitely. Just get a burger in you. You'll be good.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the lesson. All right, Melanie, we have talked a lot about your hiking, which are awesome accomplishments. And you're probably one of the only people I know who has done any of those. I mean, maybe I know a couple people who have done one of them, but I can't think of another person.
Lots of people that have like section hiked
parts
of the AT, but not like done the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't know anyone that has done
all of them. You're the most accomplished hiker that we know. So that's awesome. So we met you through the run specialty industry. You talked about before you worked at Hoka, you worked at some stores. So do you like to run as well as hike? Kind of what's your relationship to running?
Yeah. So I do like to run. You will rarely find me running on a road. Typically, the only time I run on road is if Hoka comes out with a new road shoe. I do one run in that road shoe and I call it a day. and then I go back to the trail. I ran a little bit in college just like to help out with that freshman 15. And then I did a little bit of running like in grad school, but really got into it after my first through hike because running is faster than hiking. And I wanted to be able to go on the trails for longer mileage, but just didn't have the time when hiking. So that's when I started to pick up my pace a little bit and then really started getting into it after the PCT when I became friends with Jason and just kind of found this incredible community here in Nashville. We have a run group with Cumberland Transit on Monday nights that runs on the trails called Crazy Owls. And I started hiking with them on Mondays while most of them ran. And then I started running with them and started running with the Trail Sisters group here in Nashville. So just kind of really finding that run community, I think, has helped. And yeah, so my running helps my hiking habit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's awesome. And you've done some longer races, some ultras. What have those been like?
Yeah, so I have done a few when COVID hit, virtual races became really popular, which was kind of perfect for me. I am really just not confident in making cutoff times. I think I probably could, but it's just like a really big like anxiety point for me. And so I did several during kind of 2020, 2021. I did the Yeti Challenge where you run 5 miles every 4 hours for 24 hours. I did that twice. And then a guy here in Nashville named Thomas Selinsky, he came up with this thing called the 3-part challenge. And that is where you run 3 different parks here in Nashville that have like 10 to 12 miles worth of trail. So I did that all in one day. And then I have also run my age for several of my birthdays. And on Tuesday is my 33rd birthday, and I plan to run 33 miles this coming Tuesday.
That's awesome.
Wow, that's amazing. Where are you going to run?
I am going to do Percy Warner / Edwin Warner Park here in Nashville and link a couple of trails together. So I'm going to do what we call the red, white, and blue trail a couple of times. And linking red, white, and blue is 11 miles. So I'm going to do that twice and then maybe do red and blue. And I have some people coming with me so they can do the math.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
well, happy birthday this week.
Thank you.
Excellent. All right. Well, we should probably wrap it up. Although I'm sure you'd have stories for days.
I bet we haven't even touched on all of them.
Not even close.
Yeah. All the cool stuff.
But we do need to wrap it up. And we always end our interviews by asking people what advice they would give to new runners and what advice they would give to a seasoned runner. But because you are a triple crown hiker, is that the triple crown of hiking? Mm-hmm. We're going to ask
you. The queen. Yeah. Since you're the queen of hiking.
We're going to ask what advice you would give to a new hiker. And then what advice would you give to someone that's maybe been hiking a really long time?
Yeah. So I actually talk to a lot of new hikers, and I feel like the advice I always tend to give them, I give them two pieces of advice. First of all, like, your gear is so important. And for runners too, like, making sure you go to your local run store, your local outfitter, and just choose what is right for you, because what worked for me is most likely not going to work for you. So making sure you get your foot fit and make sure you talk to an expert and realize that, like, you're going to fail a few times, and that, like, just because your first shoe that you try or your first pack that you try isn't the one for you doesn't mean that this sport isn't for you, and just, like, a lot of trial and error. And then making sure, like, you know that it's okay that you're a beginner, and that, like, it's okay to fail, and, like, you're not going to want to get off the couch, or you're not going to go out of a run, or it's raining and there's always reasons not to go. But I have never regretted a run or a hike. And that is not to say that I don't always come back home being like, I feel awesome. That was the best run ever. That was the best hike ever. I just got a PR. But it's always better than not going out at all. And that, you know, to give yourself grace. And then to give advice to a seasoned hiker or runner is that, you know, sometimes it's okay to slow down, and that, like, when I'm running, I always know that it's okay to hike, and that when I'm hiking, it's always okay to crawl. it's really important to do, I know we talked about this earlier, but strength training, oh my gosh, please strength train. Like, and do something that makes you happy. Like, if lifting weights isn't your thing or yoga isn't your thing, like, find what that thing is, because you'll stick to it. As somebody who's injured all the time, and this is advice for myself too.
Yeah, that's great advice. It's always, always good advice. And a lot of times it's the seasoned people that need that advice.
Yeah,
which is really
funny. It's easy to fall out of the habit. All right. So our final lap question that we're asking everyone this season is, what is the best piece of advice you have ever received?
Oh, gosh. Oh, so one piece of advice that I, like, kind of live my life by, or I have in the last several years. So my dad passed away in 2020, and there were two things that he always told me was, never use the H word, which is hate. So I never use that word. And if I do, I always immediately tell, like, I have to call the person back and be like, oh my gosh, I just said this awful word. And it's not that I hate that thing. It's just, I really, like, it makes me feel uncomfortable, or I try to, like, change the narrative there. But my dad's favorite quote was, it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to get in the back of the net, which is a hockey reference. Mm-hmm. Big hockey person over here. But I think, like, applying that to life, of that, like, sometimes things aren't pretty, or they aren't going to happen the way that you thought. But accomplishing something, no matter what that looks like, at the end of the day is extremely important. And so I look at that, like, the CDT, like, it wasn't pretty, but we got it done. And, you know, I look at that as, you know, every run I do sometimes seems like that too. I'm sure Tuesday is not going to be all pretty and sunshine and rainbows while I run 33 miles, but hopefully I'll get it in the back of the net.
That's awesome. That's really great advice.
That is. Yeah. That is great. That is great. Well, Melanie, thank you so much for your time. I know, coming off the weekend of the Olympic trials, I'm sure you're busy catching up, but we were so excited to have you on the podcast and so excited to share some of your cool stories with our Terra Girls listeners.
Yeah. And Melanie will be in town at some point in a few months, I'm sure. So I hope listeners chat with her and kind of catch up. We'll check in to see how that 33 mile.
And happy birthday.
Yes.
Thank you so much, y'all. It was so good to talk with y'all.
Yes. So good to see you. We're super excited that you're back as our Hoka Field rep.
Yeah, thank you. Absolutely. and the queen of hiking.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Melanie.
So. Yeah, thank you.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we're the Tierra Girls.
Inspiring people one runner at a time.
The Tierra Girls podcast is brought to you by Tierra Running Company, Cleveland's specialty running store. Named one of the best running stores in the country, Tierra Running Company offers top-notch customer service and all the best running and walking brands. Whatever you need to support your active lifestyle, we've got it. Carrying brands like Hoka, Brooks, On, and New Balance, we also have the best fit specialists to help you find the best shoe for you. Open 7 days a week in downtown Cleveland or 24/7 at terrarunning.com.